Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Bob Fabian. I'm the host of the Third Space podcast. And today, you are going to hear about how sports and Jesus are related. One of the things I find fascinating about football is the way that technology changes things and how people are orienting to sports and just and technology in general. And especially in the way that a lot of times people are trying to use it to get a better grasp on how they can do something better or how their opponent is working. And ever since the game of football began, people have tried to get the upper hand on what the opponent might be doing or what's going on. So you'll see on the NFL, for instance, you'll see, you know, coaches will be on the sideline and they'll cover their mouths with a sheet of paper as they call a play. And they're trying to avoid having their lips read by the opposing team so nobody can see what they're doing. And it's gone so far as to have giant signs up on the sidelines with different images, you know, calling in plays, and people are always trying to do their best to make sure that what's happening stays in secret. And it's fascinating to me because there's so many different ways to do that. And probably one of the biggest ways that people have been trying to improve is to maybe catch themselves on video. And so they'll in the early, I think it was in the 1920s, is when either photographs or video were used to start looking at what a football team was doing or how they were doing it. And I just recently read an article. This guy actually did a master's thesis on this, where he talked about how video had changed the game of football, especially college football. And even now, of course, they're using drones to fly over practices to do video and to analyze who's in what position at what point and what play and that kind of thing. And certainly when I played football, we didn't have any of that. It would be really cool if you got yourself on video and you thought it was neat. As a matter of fact, when I played in junior high, we played for the championship in our city. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. And as a group of us were watching, we rented out a pizza place and we had a celebration and somebody had it on video, the game. And so at each point, you know, one of the kids would yell out, "Okay, watch me, watch me, watch me on this play." And so I took the opportunity to say it, to said, "Watch me on this play, watch me on this play." And sure enough, I was playing on the line and somebody kneed me in the head and I fell face first into the dirt, to which my teammates kind of laughed. But, you know, video is great because it gives you an opportunity to go and to take a look at it, to really consider what's going on, to see how plays form or how the other team operates. And you get a chance to consider, you know, and really think about, okay, what did we do there and how can we do that better? And I think about how, you know, video plays a role then in like a weekly process in getting ready for a team. And people will say, you know, we'll play a game and then we'll analyze the film. We'll take what's good, what's bad, and then, you know, make improvements and then go forward. And the going forward means then that they will take the upcoming week, you know, they'll take the film from the team that's coming and they'll look at it and they'll say, okay, what kind of defense do they run? You know, is it just 4-3 or 3-4? Who cares? You know, whatever. When do they tend to blitz? On offense, what plays do they tend to run? You know, and so you're looking for every advantage you can in order to do well on the field. And people will talk about how much time players spend in, you know, in the video room, in the tape room. And they're just going over tape and they're looking and they're analyzing. They're trying to figure out what can we do better. And ultimately what they do then is they take that, they analyze it, they take it, they go to the practice field and they practice all week so that they can play on Saturday. If it's the NFL, then they're playing on Sunday or Thursday or some few Monday. But the idea is that they spend time in practice. Now, they're not spending time just analyzing tape and just going over and over tape, and that's all they do. They actually do that so that they can go practice and then they can go put it together in the game, which hopefully results in, you know, good execution. And it struck me recently that the way that Christians use Bible study is like sitting in the film room and never actually practicing and never actually playing the game. And it may sound like I'm being a bit dramatic, but part of what I think is important is when people have been walking with Jesus for some time, you get a sense that, okay, you have a grasp on the scriptures. It's not as if you can't learn anything new. Of course you can learn things new, and the scriptures have a way of speaking to us differently at different times in our lives and that kind of thing. But you know, you don't really need to know more about the context of Ephesians to know what Paul is trying to get at. And so when he says, do this or don't do that, you know the context already because you've already done the study. And you know, you can say, okay, he really wants me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Well, what would it look like if Christians said, okay, love your wife like Christ loved the church? And what if Christians actually put together a game plan to practice that? Okay, I'm going to practice loving my wife like Christ loved the church. And here's my plan. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then I'm going to go out and execute. And what I'm going to do is probably not going to, you know, have you know, audio or video or anything to go over, but to be able to say, how did that go? And to be able to actually say, okay, well, here's what I did. This seemed to work. It didn't work. I talked to her about it. I got her input, you know, this kind of thing back and forth. And so I'm just picking a passage in Ephesians, but what would it look like? I mean, if Christians said, okay, you know what? We're not going to do Bible study. We're going to do Bible practice. And I'm thinking, you know, Christians have to, you have to know the scriptures. You got to know the basics. You got to know where you're coming from, and you have to know who you are in Christ. But even let's say that's true. I mean, I'm just going to pick Ephesians just because I have it in my hard drive right now. But if you said, okay, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to practice. I'm going to put into place actually practicing what Ephesians says is true about me. So you say, here's my game plan. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And then, you know, when I have these thoughts come up, I'm going to do this. And then you actually put a game plan together and you practice it. And then, you know, Lord willing, when it's quote unquote game time, you pull it off. And then you come back to your group and you say, this is what I did. This is how it turned out. You analyze it and then you figure out how to get better at it. I mean, what would that look like? Because I don't think that the majority of Christians spend their time doing that. I think we get caught up in the weeds. And I think Bible study is a really, really critical component to our discipleship and our faith. I think it's also used for, you know, all sorts of things, fellowship and really important gathering of Christian people. I'm for that. When it comes to actually practicing our faith, I'm thinking, hey, you know, we've got to get way better about what it looks like. Let's not just spend all of our time in the tape room, you know, or film room, just watching film and just studying film. And, you know, because I think, man, Christians get to navel gazing way too much where we're way too concerned about, you know, ourselves and we kind of lose what it is that Christ wants for us. And so I couldn't help but see the similarities. I was thinking, man, we've got to get to Bible practice as much or more than we do Bible study, because Bible studies only going to get us so far. We actually have to go out and do what Jesus asked us to do, which is love him with all that we've got. And there's a million practices associated with that. So man, what if we were really intentional, like a football team was, about how they put together a game plan and how they took a look at it and they said, okay, this week I'm going to execute this. And how did I do? And I didn't do very good. I got to get better at that. Okay, here's some things that I can do, and here's some accountability. And you got people cheering you on. And God said, love your neighbor as yourself. What would it look like for Christians to actually say, you know what, I'm gonna put a game plan together on what it looks like to love a specific person. I kind of know them. I know the film. I know what it is that I need to do. I need to practice it, so I get better at it, and not just, you know, maybe sit around and say, geez, this is hard. Isn't it hard to love your neighbor? But actually think about it, like, okay, I'm gonna do it, and to cheer each other on, to be walking next to each other and say, hey man, I saw you do that thing. I know you're working on. You did a great job. Keep it up. And maybe when Jesus said, love your enemy, you know, we actually did that. I think that Christians have the opportunity to really shape the way that people orient to their lives. And that it was God's plan for that. I mean, I go back to years ago. I mean, Bill Hybels said, hey, look, the local church is the hope of the world. And I have no question about that. I believe that's true, that the Spirit-infused acts of the people of God is what is needed in this world. And I think it would be helpful if we could turn ourselves from a little less maybe Bible study, kind of stand in the tape room, to more Bible practice. And I hope you understand the heart that this is in has more to do with seeing us, actually just saying, I'm actually going to live with Jesus. I'm going to do the things that Jesus asked me to do. I'm going to struggle with the stuff that he asked me to struggle with. I'm going to ask the hard questions that he asked me to ask, by way of telling me what to do. I mean, if you take something like the Good Samaritan story, and many of you may have heard it, if you haven't, it's a story about a guy who he's on the wrong road at the wrong time, gets beat up and left for dead, and all of his stuff stolen, and the people who walk by who are supposed to help don't, and the guy who isn't supposed to help does help, and he goes a long way to helping this guy. And Jesus uses that story as a way of saying, hey, look, this is what it looks like to love your neighbor. And this guy is the neighbor. And I think, okay, well, what if the church has just said, well, we're going to study that story. That's really great. But never actually did it. I'm afraid I see that too much over the course of, 20 plus years of ministry in the church. And I think we can be better. We can be so much better. We could be intentional. What if we were actually intentional in the same way that a football team was intentional about how they're going to deal with their opponent in the coming week, or how they're going to deal with improvements. Sometimes I think that we just simply say, well, it's just hard. You know, it's tough being a Christian, and yeah, I don't really know. And just kind of everybody sits around and goes, yeah, that's tough. You know, maybe looks down at their lap. I mean, it can't be that. Yeah, it's hard. It's supremely hard. It actually costs us our life. I get it. That doesn't change the task that's before us. And so I hope that you would consider, I want you to spend time in the scriptures. I think that's critical. And I want you to know what it is that they say and how God is speaking truth over you. And then I want you to go live it. Like go into the darkness and be the light. Go into the places that don't have salt and be salt, so that people know there's hope. I mean, I people need to know that they're loved and cherished by God, and that we're the ones to do that. And I think that if we're really intentional about how we go about that, they may have a better chance because we're trying to be really intentional. And so I hope this is an encouragement to you today. And I pray that your practice will get better and better and better as you walk with Jesus Christ. And I pray that there is an abundance of fruit that comes because you put in the hard work and that you allowed Christ to get at you, and the Holy Spirit has operated in such a way that your life has been changed. And I pray that many people would get a better picture of who Jesus is because of the life that you lead and because you decided maybe not to sit in the tape room, but actually put some feet, some hands to it, and go out there and live like Christ has called us to live. I hope you've enjoyed hearing this today. And as always, you know, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at bobfaby.com and check out my website. Fill out a form if you would like for me to come and speak. You can do that there. You can check out a book I wrote. It's called Not My Jesus. It's on my website, but it's also, you can find it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. I'm so grateful for you listening today. If you wouldn't mind giving this podcast a rating, hopefully a good one, that'd be much appreciated. I hope that you have many, many blessings today. Thanks so much.